Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, this is God's holy word. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, "Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Well, the word of our God does stand forever. And the word of God is timeless. It addresses lives and issues in every age. This is the living word of the living God. And when Solomon gave this word to his son, it was the inspired word of God. And when it comes to us tonight, it's the inspired word of God. And it is as applicable, it applies to us here tonight, here, just as much as it did when it was spoken then and there. And the more we get to know the Bible, the more it should strike us the amazing similarity that there is in our day and age with the ancient times in which the Scripture was written. The more you really read the Bible, you realize this is no old, out-of-date book. It deals with life exactly the way we find life to be, in its deepest, most important ways. The Bible writes to the people of ancient times. It addresses the same issues, the same challenges, and the same temptations that we face every day of our lives. In our passage tonight, Proverbs 1, 10 through 19. The issue about which Solomon is speaking to his son is an issue that faces us and our children every day. Friends, to live wisely is not easy. The remnants of our old nature still exerts its foolish tendencies. And not only within us, but around us as well, are all kinds of influences that would seek to divert and deflect us away from wisdom. We should be so thankful for good influences and good examples that God surrounds us with. Boys and girls, it's such a blessing for you to have godly parents. And to be able to be in a church where people all around us encourage us in the faith and in wise thinking and wise living. But as we're thankful for the good influences and examples around us, at the same time, we need always to be aware and to watch out for ways that we may be influenced away from wisdom. At the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, that old serpent, the devil, was there. And he wasn't simply content in his evil to have fallen from his righteous place to be in sin himself. What did he set about doing right at the outset of human history? He wasn't content to be in sin himself. He began tempting Adam and Eve, come with me, join me. Isn't that what he's doing right at the beginning? Tempting. Tempting Eve and tempting Adam to be foolish and to make foolish choices. Choices that would not lead to life, but to death. He was tempting them to go his way instead of God's way. And ever since, the devil continues to tempt the children of God in many ways, and often through the people that are around us. This is exactly what Solomon is speaking about here in these verses. This section in the New International Version has the title, A Warning Against Enticement. To be enticed is to be lured away, to be tempted away. And this is exactly what this section is about, a warning against being lured away from the ways of wisdom. And really, it's all about choosing wise friends. Being very careful about the people around us who are being an influence upon us. Well, you can see the structure of these verses. Verses 10 through 14 reveal to us the temptation that is being warned against. Verses 15 and 16 really embody the warning itself. And verses 17 through 19 are a great reason for the wisdom of the warning. Well, let's look at first the temptation that Solomon teaches his son about. He's really saying, watch who you hang around with. Be careful about the people that you go along with. Here the warning concerns sinners. My son, if sinners entice you. Now we know that we're all sinners. But here when Solomon says sinners, he has in mind those who sin but who don't care that they're sinning. In fact, who like their sinning, who don't care about God and his word. Watch out as they are luring you away from the path of wisdom. My son, if sinners entice you, if they say, come along with us. Verse 14, throw in your lot with us. You know, in modern language, you know what they're saying? I used to hear this all the time growing up from people around me. And it was not only the little word itself, but it was the way that they said it. It's just this little word. Actually, it's two words, but it's just spoken always as one word. Come on. Come on. You ever hear that word? I don't know what it would be in French, but I sure heard it a lot in English. From people in school sometimes, from people out on the sports field, people here and people there, friends my age, people that I was working with as I got older, and they'd be doing things, and they'd be going places, and they knew that I probably wouldn't be someone who would do those things, but they just wouldn't leave it alone. What would they say? Come on. Come on. It's always the same way that they said it. Kind of almost an insult, you know, a put down. What's the big deal, right? They're saying. Come on. What are you being such a prude about? Come on. It was always that word and that way. It's still ringing in my ears. And it's good that it's ringing in my ears. This is exactly what Solomon is talking about. My son, watch out for those people that will come alongside of you, sinners, and they'll say, come on. And the temptation can be great. Because what are they offering here? They're offering the son a sense of belonging. Come on. Everybody's doing it. You'll be one of us. You'll be part of the gang. There's the temptation of not being the odd one out. It's hard to be the odd one out, isn't it? Sometimes you're the only one who has to be the odd one out. And everyone else is doing it. And everyone else is saying, come on. And you have to be the only one who stands apart. And they seem so friendly. They seem like your buddies and your pals. Don't you hear that in the language? Come on, join with us. It'd be great. They seem friendly. They seem concerned for your good. There will be all these advantages to you for coming with us. Now, the father here in Proverbs describes the terrible thing. And the terrible things that these quote-unquote friends are wanting to do. Now, he's giving a specific example to drive it home to his son. Who are these people that are saying, come on? They're muggers. They're thieves and murderers. You know what they want to do? It's in modern language. It's something that we're hearing about, that we're hearing more and more about. This is swarming. You ever heard that term? It's a cultural phenomenon now. It's kind of a faddish thing to do. Swarming. Bunch of young people just getting together and just surrounding somebody and mugging them and sometimes killing them. Just for a lark. Just for fun. It happened here in Russell 7 or 8 years ago. Do you remember that? Right in front of the Russell restaurant. 35-year-old father, a young man, and a bunch of teenagers swarmed him. He was injured, beaten, left on the road. This is what's going on. Things don't change. Verse 13, in terms of the temptation, they say beyond just the fun of that, there'll be a payoff. Money. Mind you, you're going to get rich doing this. Come on. But you know, the details don't have to be the same. This is a specific thing here in case it's something to shock us that this is what they're doing. But the details don't have to be the same. There are many ways that bad friends around you can say to you, come on. It doesn't have to be mugging or stealing. It can be all sorts of things that they're going to get around you and say, come on. It's going to be drinking. It's going to be drugs. It's going to be inappropriate language and behavior. It's going to be sexual immorality. And on and on and on. And they're going to be around you in one way or another, and they're going to say, come on. Things that you know are not pleasing to God. But the temptation is that you will want to fit in with them for whatever reason. You will want to fit in with them more than with God and His people. That's the reality, kids. And God is telling you to warn you because He loves you. And your parents, you may have been hearing this from your parents. Good. I'm glad you're hearing it from your parents because they're just telling you what God is saying. And your parents are telling you because they love you too. Here there is some kind of reward offered. money. You'll fill your house with valuable things. You'll get all sorts of things. Well, it may be perhaps money that you're being tempted with, but it can be other things as well. You know, the thing itself may be different, and the temptation may be different. The reward of that temptation may be just the image that you want to maintain. You want to be cool. Is that the word they still use? What is it? What's the word for being cool now? I don't even know. I'm so uncool. What's the word now for cool? For a while, it was bad. That was the word. It was good if you were bad. And it changes all the time. I don't know, but it's just being cool, being in, being with it, being hip. Maybe that's enough of a temptation for you. You want to maintain your image as someone who's cool. Could be companionship. To be careful of that. Maybe you're lonely. Loneliness is a hard thing. Could be just kicks or excitement. Church stuff is so boring. Well, let me say also that this doesn't just apply to kids. This is a father warning his son, but it's also God the Father warning all of his children. And adults are the children of God, too. Watch out for those relationships that you are involved in. Wherever you're involved in them with, at work, outside of the home, whatever it is, we can be involved in all sorts of relationships. At the gym, on the road, when you're traveling for business, watch out for the relationships around you. Watch out for a way that Satan may be trying to get a foothold in your life through the people around you, and in one way or another, they will be saying to you, come on. There's someone in my life, very close to me, who was on the road a lot for his work. And whatever it was that was leading him to, and there, I'm sure there were all sorts of things on the road, where he got, there were relationships, and in one way or another, in those relationships, someone was saying to him, come on. And on he went. To almost the complete destruction of his life. Let me just say that to the men here. And if that's your position in work, if you're ever in a place of work where you have to be on the road a lot, it's one of the most common roads to destruction in men. Watch out for it. And let me say this, Satan doesn't need to use real people in the flesh to do this sort of thing. In many ways, this warning is aimed just as strongly at influences that come into our home through movies, through the internet, through television shows, or through whatever other medium that people are still coming into our minds and lives. And by their example that we are watching or seeing or listening to, they're saying, come on. Come on. And we don't think it's as bad or as real because they're just on a screen. But the temptation can be as real. People that we would never hang around with in person, and yet Christians spend hours and hours and hours in the company of such people. People like this, as we watch and listen. You know, I'll never forget Pastor Al Martin speaking at a conference about sanctification, about growing in grace in Christ. And he mentioned a friend of his or some man that he knew who told him that at one point in his life he watched one movie that had something or other in it or was about something, I don't know, one movie that this man said wiped out years of sanctification in my life. one movie that wiped out years of sanctification in his life because of what it brought into his mind and what it brought back into his thinking and how it was saying to him, come on, come on, come on. These are real things we need to be on guard against. This is the temptation that the teacher Solomon here, that the father is showing his son. Well, it's no wonder then that in the middle section we have the great warning. It starts really in verse 10. Don't give in. Don't give your consent. Don't say yes. Don't be willing to go along, the word means. Just say no. That's what he's saying. Just say no. That's the warning. That's the counsel. Just say no. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Psalm 26 says, I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers. I refuse to sit with the wicked. 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That's over and over and over and over again in the Word of God. God saying, just say no. Verse 15, do not set foot on their paths. Don't even start down that road. Beware of the first inclinations toward that path. And in verse 16, he says, this is not just fun. This is not just a lark. It is sin. For their feet rush into sin. And sin is breaking the law of the holy God. It is sin, and it is foolishness. Why is it foolishness? Well, this is the reason, then, the third part of this section, the reason that is given in 17 through 19. Verse 17 is a proverb in itself. It's almost a riddle proverb. You read it and say, well, I don't understand how that fits in. He's talking about watching your friends and being tempted, and then how useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. Why is he talking about hunting when he is just talking about being tempted to do evil things? Well, people have suggested different ways of understanding this verse, but it seems to be saying, I think that the meaning is just very simple in a way. Even birds with brains the size of a pea, even birds don't go into obvious traps. Boys, you know, I can see some of you thinking, oh, trapping birds, now you've got my attention. You don't set up a trap right where the bird can see it, because he's looking, and he's saying, that's a trap. I'm not going near that. And you sit and wait with your hand on the string that goes to the stick that's holding up the box, and you wait and wait and wait until your mom calls you in for dinner and you say, I can't come in, I'm hunting. And no birds come because they've watched you set up the trap, and they're not stupid. And what's Solomon saying to his son? You're not as stupid as a bird, are you? A bird doesn't go into a trap. A bird isn't so foolish as seeing something that's so obviously a trap and going into it. Are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? These temptations that people around you are going to be enticing you with, are not just foolish and sinful, they are destructive to all who dabble in them and become ensnared with them. That's what he's saying. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay, they destroy only themselves. This is the end of all those who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. That's the destructive trap. They think they're doing it to someone else, and the greatest harm is on them. The temptation is to live a little, and the result is to die a lot. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It always is. That will never change as long as God is on his holy throne. The wages of sin is death. Don't fall into the trap. Psalm 7 says, he who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. Well, I think all we have to do is read these words and we understand the warning against this temptation that is always around us. We need to pray that we would take it to heart. We need to pray that our children would take it to heart and that we would not learn the hard way. Let me just have two brief applications of this passage. Number one, choose your friends wisely. Kids, choose your friends wisely. A good friend will be such a blessing in your life. And the best friend that you'll have, Lord willing, will be your husband or your wife. Choose wisely. Listen to people around you. Wise people who love you. Good friend is such a blessing. A friend who will encourage you in good, wise things. Who will pray for you. And who will help you toward God and not away from God. Don't go with those who are tempting you to evil. Choose good friends. A man of many companions may come to ruin, Proverbs 18:24, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Make Jesus your closest friend. Keep Jesus as your closest friend, and you'll have no trouble knowing who your other friends should be. But I think there's a second application, and it's a pitfall on the other side of the road. Don't go in with sinners. That's the warning on the one hand. And those who fall into that trap fall into destruction. But there's a pitfall on the other side, I think, as I thought about this. As much as it's important to heed this warning and to stay away from those who are leading us in unwise ways, the other pitfall on the other side is that we can become monastic in our Christianity. We can just seek to completely isolate ourselves from the world, or try to, in ourselves or in our families. Just we come to a warning like this and we just say, oh, okay, well then, no contact with anything or anyone in the world. I think that's an error on the opposite side of this warning. It can't be right that the church and the people of God never interact at all with unbelievers. That can't be right. We have to be salt and light in the world. As Christians, we know we are not of the world, but we are in the world. You know, Jesus was accused of many things, But one thing that the religious leaders seemingly just couldn't believe was that he could be a friend of sinners. That he could be a friend of sinners. But he came to this world and brought good news to those who needed to hear it. And that's what the church is called to do as well. Now, I know that it's a fine line. But wisdom will be very careful always about which direction the influence is going. There will always be an influence in every relationship. And we need to be very careful that as believers, if we are interacting with the world, that we are very careful and deliberate and prayerful that the influence will be coming from us, coming from Christ upon them. And as soon as that balance of influence begins to shift, we better watch out. And lots of times we better get out. There will always be an influence, one way or another. And it's very true that sometimes Christians who say we should be engaging with sinners are just engaging with sin. We need to be careful. But wisdom will also cause us to desire to bring Christ to those who need to know him. That's why God has us in this world, to be salt and light in the world. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. You can't win souls unless you are in contact with souls who are lost. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Well, may the Lord give you wisdom. May he give me wisdom. And may he keep us watching and praying.